Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Good morning, you. Welcome to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman. The announcer just told you that, but I thought I'd repeat it. You're listening to AFR, hour and a half talk show right here. And we got an hour and 24 minutes and 30 seconds left to discuss a lot of stuff going on in the news. And Ed Battagliano is with me here. Dr. Ray Pritchard is out this week. He normally joins me on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but Ed's filling in.
Yeah, he's off preaching the Bible somewhere.
Yeah,
you know
they
Ray.
Pay him to do that.
Yeah,
actually, but he would probably do it. Well, he's got to eat though. That's the problem.
He's got to eat.
So they do pay him. Dr. Ray Pritchard, who is he has his own ministry. You ought to check it out on the internet, folks. Called
Keep Believing.
Keep Believing.
At keepbelieving.com.
Keepbelieving.com. And Ray is an outstanding Bible teacher. I mean,
he really is.
He really is.
I like him.
And so he goes to all these Bible camps around the country, and they bring him in to teach a particular book of the Bible,
right.
for example. So he's doing that this week somewhere in Florida, I think. So Ed and I are here. Also in studio, Walker Wildman, who's our Facebook king.
That's a compliment.
King.
It is a compliment.
King.
Walker's
of the
Facebook
page.
Speaking of Facebook, we are on Facebook Live for the second day in a row. Yesterday, throughout the entire show, we had 870 people. Different individuals watched the show.
800 people who were so bored
that they watched us.
They clicked to see what we looked like.
Don't insult them. Please,
so, Jim. If you want to be one of those people watching on
800
Facebook,
of our closest
now
friends,
we're going to have four.
Go to Today's Issues Facebook page.
And okay. Ed has his makeup on today, so
yes.
I don't ever wear makeup. When we used to be across the street, we were on video all the time. I'd go and one of our assistants would say, "Ed, would you like some makeup?" No. You see is what you get.
Fred Jackson, news director here, making fun of Ed. that's part of his job description. Good morning. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be with you guys.
Before you get to the top of the news, just one aside to what you just said. You and I would go across the street. By across the street, we mean physically walking across the street to a TV
studio
to do this show.
Right.
For a couple of years, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they had the makeup because so you had to put makeup on.
We were on
camera.
And
you decided. I don't know if did you quit or I quit first, but finally we just said no more makeup.
I never started, Tim. First of all, I'll say this: I knew there wasn't enough makeup in the world that could make this face.
I know, but the lighting. Yeah. It was the lighting there.
It was harsh lighting.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're ugly lighting. I'm not saying you're ugly. I'm just saying.
I think that's exactly what you said.
I'm just saying that. I don't know if good light, bad light matters.
That's my
point, and how that relates to the book of Ephesians. Because that's really what I'm driving at here, folks, is to make a spiritual point. I'm just kidding. All right, so we're going to separate the rest of the show from.
We could mention the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, wait a minute. I was going to say that I did that a few weeks, I think it was, the makeup thing.
Yeah.
Not thick makeup, but just a brush.
Right.
Just a brush to get the shine off, so to speak. But finally, I just said, I'm not doing this anymore. I have to go out for lunch.
Yeah.
And people look at you.
Blue collar workers, even when you're sitting in pizza.
Yeah, I know. Even though we live in the era of non-judgmentalism, I feel judged when I'm out and I got makeup on and people are looking at me like, what bar did you go to last night?
That's right.
The guys
right.
from the local factory or who just,
right,
got,
right.
just got done working on transmissions.
Right.
They're not eating and they're looking at you.
They're not going for a man in makeup. Okay.
What you eating over there, sweet pea?
All right. Here we go with the serious news. Go, Fred. Take us out of this.
Are we going to talk about the Cubs before we get
to
that?
Go ahead. I think that's serious news, 100 years.
Well,
108.
Absolutely. And as it was pointed out to us, the last time the Cubs won a World Series was a Republican was elected.
Yes, that's right.
And it was also pointed out by Steve Jordell, who will be with us in a little while, that apparently in the Back to the Future movie 2, all right, with Michael J. Fox. If you watch that movie, he walks into, I guess, a baseball park.
Well, he goes from, it's supposed to take place in like 1985. He goes into the future.
Yes.
Right?
And in the park, it's 2016, November, yeah. And the Cubs have won.
The World Series.
The World Series. Isn't that freaky?
That is.
That is really strange. That is really strange. I didn't know that until this morning.
Walker, anyway. You don't know what I'm... No. You don't know what that means.
Twilight Zone.
Sounds like a good intro to a radio show.
It was a great intro to a great Twilight television Zone. Program.
That's right.
Go ahead, Fred.
All right. On to the election, which is really kind of the major news story of the day and has been now for several months. Here's the latest. There are two things going on right now. One is more information is coming out thanks to WikiLeaks and thanks to other sources. There are multiple investigations going on now, basically within the FBI, with regards to, number one, the Clinton Foundation and the pay-to-play. Last night on Fox News, it was learned that perhaps for almost a year now, the FBI has been investigating what we have been talking about, this whole pay-to-play. And what we mean by that, once again, is that while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, the allegation is she was using her office to line the pockets of the Clinton Foundation. Now, how was she doing that? Well, basically, she would entice, this is the allegation, she would entice various leaders of countries, whether it's Saudi Arabia or Morocco, to give millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation, run by her husband, and in turn, they would get an audience with her as Secretary of State. Now, those are the allegations that are out there. Last night, Brett Baer on Fox News was saying there are FBI agents telling him that an indictment is almost a certainty in this case.
An indictment of whom?
Well, that is the question. Whether it's going to be, is it the Clinton Foundation? Is it Hillary Clinton? Now, this is regardless of who wins the election.
Right.
They're saying an indictment is almost a certainty. Now, that's what the sources are telling Fox News. Also, what has been learned last night, the laptops of Clinton aides Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson have not been destroyed, and agents are currently combing through them. Now, obviously, they are looking for information with regards to the Clinton Foundation and other things. Now, here's the other story. What we're also learning is about the cozy relationship between the Obama Justice Department and in particular, the Assistant Attorney General, a gentleman by the name of Peter Katzik. He happens to be very good friends with John Podesta, who is Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. In fact, they go to lunch together. Now, here is the second-in-command of the Justice Department getting together to chit-chat with John Podesta, in the midst of all of the allegations with regards to the Justice Department and the FBI and Hillary Clinton's server. And the allegations being made, the reports being made, is that Katzik was sending emails, and this goes back to the WikiLeaks emails that are being handed out day by day,
right,
that he was sending emails, Katzik was, at the Justice Department, to the Clinton campaign, alerting them to what the Justice Department was up to with regards to the investigation.
And this is a separate scandal. This is the email scandal.
This is different.
Yes.
This is different from the foundation. So you've got the two investigations going on. You've got the server investigation going on, the server at Hillary Clinton's house while she was Secretary of State. And then you have the investigations going on the pay-to-play with regards to the Clinton Foundation.
Well, let me just put the cookies on the bottom shelf here for people who are having a hard time understanding or what's wrong with what Katzik did. It would be like the local assistant attorney general, district attorney, calling the house of someone who's about to be indicted by a grand jury and saying, hey, this is what the district attorney's office is doing. You might want to start prepping for this, and this is their strategy. An obvious conflict of interest.
This fella here sent, this fella you're talking about, what's his name, Katsik?
It's Peter Katsik.
Okay. Again, folks, I know this it gets complicated and it gets hard to follow. It sounds like a John Grisham novel sometimes. But so you have a guy who's assistant attorney general in the United States at the Justice Department, and he's communicating with his good friend who's the head of the Clinton campaign.
John Podesta.
John Podesta. They hang out. They're good friends. They go to ball games together. I don't know.
But maybe they wear makeup together. We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know. Right. We can't deny or confirm. So he's this fella who's the working in the attorney general's office, assistant attorney general, sends Podesta an email just as he had described, but he doesn't do it on his government Justice Department email account. He switches over to a Gmail account or a private email account to communicate with Podesta. Now, if he were to argue, if you were to argue that, no, this was just somehow a professional communication, I don't know what you call it, a courtesy. I don't know how you would spin it.
But
had it at least been on your work computer, and you're saying it's work related, okay? Maybe that's
that it's proper. It's proper to do that.
You could defend that. But when you say, nope, not going to do this on my government computer email account, I'm going to switch over to a private one, that is a dead giveaway that you're being underhanded.
Because here's the thing. If you do it on your government computer, your government email address, it is open to a freedom of information request.
Oh, okay.
And other people can find out about it. So that even goes further to the point that it's clear. And I think this, I'm not 100% sure because I'm not an attorney. I think it's illegal to conduct federal government business offline, so to speak. When you're not on the government's system, you are not allowed to conduct government business because you are circumventing the transparency laws that all government officials are supposed to work under.
What this WikiLeaks has done, Walker, has proven, as I said yesterday, the incestuous relationship between the liberal media, the Democrat Party, the Clintons, and even our own government. That's supposed to be impartial, the Justice Department, for example. So
WikiLeaks has pulled the blanket back, and a lot of these other investigations, even documents the FBI is releasing far as Hillary Clinton's interviews, it's pulling the curtain back, and you're beginning to see that what Hillary and some of the left used to call the vast right-wing conspiracy is actually just reality.
Right,
and it's coming to light.
It's what they call business as usual. I got to read you this.
Okay.
This remember I said the relationship between Podesta, Hillary's campaign manager, and Mr. Katsik, it goes way back. It all started in the 1990s when Podesta was questioned on perjury during the Monica Lewinsky case. Remember, Podesta was the chief of staff during the Clinton administration.
Oh, I knew we'd have to get Monica Lewinsky in here somewhere.
Yep.
I mean, can't.
All right.
You're serious. You can't make this stuff up.
No. Okay. Who was Podesta's brave lawyer able to manipulate the grand jury to his innocence? None other than Katsik himself. Podesta has even noted that Katsik was, quote, a fantastic lawyer, kept me out of jail, end quote.
Oh,
so these two guys go back to the 90s when they were working together during the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal. This is how far they go back. Now Katsik is the Assistant Attorney General of the United States, and he's chit-chatting.
Yeah, I tell you, you know what? It would be funny if it wasn't so serious.
Oh.
Here's the most serious part of this is, to me, not that we don't have dishonest politicians and dishonest media, and there's a shock, right?
Right.
It's that when you start talking about the Justice Department mm-hmm. having corruption, the FBI playing favorites, when you start making those kinds of findings, or that's what people start to believe, that amps up the seriousness of it, because the FBI, the Justice Department, they are supposed to be legal watchdogs of the powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are politicized and they meet on a airport tarmac for half an hour
wow.
with the husband of a prime target and hoping they won't get caught. Wait, that did happen, didn't it?
Yes. to your point about the Grisham models.
Then you got problems. You got serious problems, and what word would you use? It's kind of frightening. Ed.
Well, let me try to. And I'm not a historian, so I think that this is a good parallel. Okay, I read a book several years ago by William Shirer. He's one who wrote the Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, I think. But he also wrote one called The Collapse of the Third Republic, which was about the fall of France in 1940, seeking to explain how that republic collapsed so quickly in its brief war with the Nazis. And Shire goes back and he says for 50 years in France, he said people had begun to distrust their government, began to believe it was all corrupt, and when the time came to defend it, even though many of the French soldiers fought bravely, the people did not have the will or the desire to defend what they believed was a corrupt republic. And I'm not saying the parallels are there with our country. I'm saying, though, that when you get, like you see in South America all the time, when you get the general populace to believe that it's all corrupt and only the strong and the powerful, the ones in power, the ones who get the benefit, it doesn't work, the system does not work for me and my family, you have reached a dangerous place in the life of a republic. Mm-hmm. Because if the people of this country believe it is all rigged, you know, we talked about before the show started, if Hillary Clinton gets elected and she shuts down all these investigations, you think the American people aren't going to realize that there is clearly a set of rules for the powerful
yeah.
and a different set of rules for us? People stop caring about their country.
Well, the other thing related to that is, and I don't mean to turn this into a Democrat-Republican thing, I think hopefully I would say the same thing about a Republican should they be so obviously
right.
corrupt. But this would be an indictment on the American people.
Mm-hmm.
If Mrs. Clinton can have a 60+% rating of dishonest by the general American public,
mm-hmm.
and all the stuff we know now about, I mean, just one scandal after another, and you get rewarded by being elected by the American people, a majority of the American people. Now, maybe that people would say, well, that shows you how bad Donald Trump is. I don't know. I would just say, I guess, put it this way, Hillary Clinton could not walk into any federal, any government office anywhere in America, state or federal. She could not walk in that office and say, I would like an application to fill out for a job here. They would say, aren't you the one who mm-hmm. set up your own private server to do government business and put our national security secrets at risk? That's me. There's no reason to apply
right
here because you're not getting the job. You're disqualified. The only job, ma'am, you can get is president. Okay? Now, you can go for broke. You can either be president of the United States or you're not qualified to work anywhere else in the federal government.
Or you can retire. Yeah.
This is why Trey Gowdy and others said she doesn't deserve to get briefings.
Right.
These national security briefings, because she's not trustworthy to hold them, you know, safe.
Well, and some are saying, even Hillary herself last night at a rally, are saying, well, Trump is unfit to hold the codes to the nuclear arsenal.
They're trying to scare people with that.
Yeah, they're trying to turn it. But it's so ironic to come from her, who has mishandled the FBI themselves, admitted that at least five,
reckless.
At least five foreign governments have hacked into her emails, which possibly have classified information in there.
Well, this doesn't even mention what happened in Benghazi.
Right.
I mean, the dereliction of duty there.
And we're supposed to trust her with our national security.
Yeah, I'm about to think the temperament judgment charges are a wash between the two candidates.
What Walker was saying, I'm looking at a Fox News story, says authorities now believe there is about a 99% chance that up to five foreign intelligence agencies may have accessed and taken emails from Hillary Clinton's private server. Two separate sources with intimate knowledge of the FBI investigations told Fox News.
Yeah, well,
Five.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. We're going to change the name of our show tomorrow to We're Not Making This Up. That's the new name of this show tomorrow on American Family Radio. We're talking about the election here, though, because of and all these things that are in the news surrounding the election. It all comes to a head on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Either the American people will elect Donald Trump or they'll elect Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has been ahead in the polls for a long time. Sometimes by 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 points, but in various states. But what's happened, folks, if you haven't been paying attention, in the last 4 or 5 days, the polls are narrowing, so much so that the Democrats are getting worried now.
Really worried.
They're getting really worried, and you can see that by where Mrs. Clinton is going, too. She went to Michigan 2 days ago. Well, Michigan's long been considered safe country for Hillary Clinton. And now people are saying, well, I don't know. Maybe it's in play. Yesterday, Pennsylvania, which has voted for the Democrats since 1988, and Virginia were on the Real Clear
Politics.
That.
It's a tongue twister.
They were changed from favoring Clinton to toss-up state.
To toss-up state. That's amazing. Pennsylvania and Virginia, both in the toss, what they Real Clear Politics calls the toss states, which is why, and in North Carolina, President Obama went to North Carolina yesterday, spoke at Chapel Hill, all of a sudden developed a southern accent, guy from Illinois.
Oh, my God.
It's quite
amazing. Hillary Clinton does that, too.
it's quite amazing.
It's
a
kind of talent. It's a talent.
But here's the other reason. It's being acknowledged now that there is a real problem. The black vote is not coming to Hillary Clinton like it did supported Barack Obama. There is real concern that constituency, which normally votes 90% with the Democrats, that a lot of them may stay home. So that's another dynamic.
Can you hang around another?
Sure thing.
Okay. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. You can read.
You can catch all the stories we talk about and watch us live at Facebook. Go to Facebook and type Today's Issues.
Yeah, Walker's over there keeping our Facebook page
hopping
and humming. Fred's here from One News Now. Check out onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. Folks, when we get back, I want to tell you about one of the best sermons I ever heard in my life last night about midnight, and we're going to play it this afternoon at 3 o'clock on American Family Radio. Stay with us, and I'll tell you about it.
I think I've got a
stumper
for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
Yeah, it's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
Da-dum, 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 da-dum,
but listen to the question.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit, is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. President Obama was in North Carolina on Wednesday, dropping his G's and throwing around Southern slang like he was slinging hash browns at the Waffle House, talking about how he loves me some North Carolina. Woo, woo! Said it's time to get down to business. Not business, business. As if all of us Southerners talk like Boss Hogg from the Dukes of Hazzard. Hillary Clinton's just as bad. She can turn on that Arkansas twang at the drop of a cast iron skillet. It's cultural appropriation for a political purpose. Now, cultural appropriation is something the liberals invented, all the rage on college campuses. They say traditions like Taco Tuesday perpetuate harmful stereotypes. So, using their logic, I have a message for President Obama. Sir, you're from Hawaii. You grew up in the Midwest. You are not Southern. So please stop appropriating our culture. As we say down in Dixie, stop acting the fool. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, and congratulations to the long-suffering Chicago Cubs fans. I am a lifelong St. Louis Cardinals fan, and now, hear me out before you throw things at your radio if you're a Cubs fan, but let's be honest, the Cardinals have owned you for 100 years. That's not bragging. That's just a matter of fact.
In your face.
Yeah, but don't throw anything at your radio.
Let me give the other side of this, the heartfelt, compassionate side. Hmm. This is one Cardinals fan that was pulling for the Cubs last night because I have a heart. And now the Cleveland Indians, they hadn't won the World Series since 1948, so it isn't as they aren't exactly, you know what I'm saying? They've had their own suffering to do, but just half a century, you know. And the Cubs have been suffering for
108 years
over that year.
And
so,
the Cubs won three straight to take
it, and it went into extra innings last night.
Yeah. And the last two were in Cleveland. The last two games,
yes,
yeah,
right. That's
amazing. Yeah, it was an amazing story. With the Cubs winning last night in extra innings in Cleveland. But congratulations, and as I say, as a Cardinals fan, I'm happy for the Cubs. And that's like a Red Sox fan saying they're happy for the Yankees.
Well, maybe it is. I can't speak to that.
But the Cubs have never won the World Series in 100 years, and their fans have stuck with them, even calling them the lovable losers.
Right.
So the lovable losers have now –
I was rooting for the Cubs as a lifelong Red Sox fan because up until 2004, the Red Sox and the Cubs were basically neck and neck for, you know, loser of the century.
Right.
We hadn't won since 1918, so we had, you know, 10 years less suffering, but it had gone on a long time. I was rooting for the Cubs, and when the Indians came back and tied it and sent it into extra innings, I thought, my goodness, the talk about the curse – over the Cubs, is if they lose this game, it's just going to continue on forever. But they pulled it out.
If the Cubs can win the World Series, Donald Trump can win the presidency. That's the way I look at it. Walker, you got some by the way, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We are on Facebook Live now, and Walker's putting information, news stories up on our Facebook page. That's Today's Issues, American Family Radio Facebook page. And did you link to some of the stuff we talked about last half hour?
Yes, linking to some of the stories Fred mentioned. And one story I wanted to bring up.
And then don't let me forget that sermon.
Yeah, thing. That's also on our Facebook page.
Okay, I'll mention it after you get through with these, what you're about to talk about.
Yeah, the early voting numbers are starting to come out. And I don't believe they can tell which candidate you voted for, whether it be a statewide. But overall, they can tell whether you voted Republican or Democrat.
Okay.
In early voting numbers.
Okay.
But in Florida, this time last election in 2012 in Florida, Democrats had outnumbered Republicans in early voting by 39,000 as of 6 days before the election. So that would have been yesterday. Right now, 5 days before the election, Republicans are outnumbering Democrats in early voting by 17,000.
And that's very unusual, not just because of the comparison to 2012, but it is typical, my understanding is, for Democrats to outnumber Republicans in early voting.
Correct.
And then the opposite is true on Election Day.
Yeah. So this may be telling to what we're going to see next Tuesday, because Republicans typically outshow Democrats on Election Day at the polls. So if Republicans are ahead in early voting in some of these key states like Florida, if Republicans show up on Election Day, it should be an easy win in some of these states.
You know what? Florida, of course, the Hillary Clinton can win the presidency without winning Florida.
Right.
Donald Trump cannot win the presidency without winning Florida. So Donald Trump has to win Florida. But let me, the uphill, Fred, the if you looked at the Electoral College map, it heavily favors the Democrat. I said yesterday that, and I've said before, and I stand by this, if Bozo the Clown won the Democrat nomination, Bozo the Clown would win California, New York, and Illinois, and not even have to fight for them.
Right.
Huh? Am I right?
Right.
Washington State, Oregon.
Well, yeah. Bozo wins there. He doesn't even have to go campaign there. And so that's a huge advantage for the Democrats. The Republicans, with the exception of Texas, as a large state, have to fight for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, we're seeing this Electoral College map where the Republican candidate, Donald Trump, has to sweep about five of these key battleground states to have a chance to win. But it's been like that for the last two election cycles, because California and New York are just lost to liberalism, I guess, forever. California, they're about to pass a smoke dope amendment to their constitution, I think, like Colorado did. Did you hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know about this?
Well, they're
about to pass legal recreational marijuana use is going to be legal in California.
Yeah, it's awaiting the vote on Tuesday, but who doubts it?
Did you know, as an aside here, and we rarely do this, one of the top law enforcement officials, I heard this morning in Colorado, sent a letter to, I think it was an open letter to the citizens of California, saying, please don't do this. This was a terrible mistake on the part of our state. It's causing enormous problems. And I encourage you to vote no on legalized pot. And, of course, it's going to pass. It looked like to me 60%+ of Californians. But anyway, back to my point, California and New York, loony liberal, and they would, I know they would make fun of me being from the South. But anyway, they are. They're just loony liberal, and so they're lost. So the Republicans have to make that up somewhere, because they're not going to win California or New York. Now, so the Electoral College map, Trump will have to win. I'm going to have to get back to the sermon thing, because people are waiting. Okay, after this. Trump's got to win Florida.
Ohio,
probably North Carolina.
Yes.
If he can win Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, and if he pulls off a stunner in Pennsylvania, which is listed as a toss-up state,
yes,
then he'll win,
yeah,
won't he?
Well, that I think he needs another cup. It would help if he got Michigan.
I'm talking about if he wins all the states that Romney won, and then he throw in Pennsylvania, he's the winner.
Right. And New Hampshire's a toss-up, too. A lot of people wouldn't think that, but New Hampshire is in the toss column as of this morning also. So if he can, if you start on election night, you start to see New Hampshire going to Trump. Then we get down to Pennsylvania. You start seeing Pennsylvania going to Trump, and then North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't have your party yet, but
probably going to be President-elect Trump if that happens.
If we start to see that early on election night, our program, which starts at 6 o'clock Central, we start to see those kinds of numbers, I tell you what, that's going to be an upset.
Because it signifies what will happen on the West Coast.
Exactly.
And some of those Midwest states like Colorado.
Let us hasten to add that we're only projecting these kinds of possibilities because Donald Trump has caught her over the last week in a lot of these polls. She's been ahead. Yes.
And it could change back.
And it could change back tonight or tomorrow. Right. But the trend the last 4, 5, or 6 days has been towards Trump with independent voters in particular. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens on Tuesday. And as Walker just referenced, early voting favors Republicans, and that's unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Let me mention this sermon.
Sure, go ahead.
And then we can get back to this discussion, and we can talk about our coverage here Tuesday on election night. We're going to be here at American Family Radio broadcasting. You're listening to American Family Radio. The program you've tuned into is Today's Issues. I'm Tim Wildman. With Ed Vitagliano, king of Facebook, Walker Wildman over there keeping our Facebook page humming, and news director of American Family News, Fred Jackson. Now, I got a text from a friend last night about 11 o'clock. I was on my patio with my lovely and talented wife, Allison, and our little 7-pound Maltese, and we were watching the
Killer, whose name is Killer.
We were watching that isn't his name, but anyway, his name's Champ. But you got to name a little dog something big, or else you get a complex. He's got a complex anyway. But anyway, so the point is that we're watching the World Series, and I got a text from a friend of mine who lives in California who doesn't care what time of the night he sends me a text, and he's linking to a sermon. And he says to me, you have to watch this. And this is a person who doesn't tell me every day, I have to watch this.
Right.
Okay. And so I click on there. I turn the volume down on the TV with the World Series. They go into a rain delay. You remember that?
Right, I do. 17 minutes.
Rain delay. So I click on this message by a pastor, Tommy Nelson, of the Denton Bible Church in Texas. And the message is called Continental Divide. And I start listening, and it's kind of sermon that is gripping. So you're pulled in immediately.
Right.
And it was an outstanding, it's 5 stars out of 5.
Right.
Message that every American Christian needs to hear. You agree with that, Ed?
I absolutely agree.
And you agree with that, Fred?
I listened to
5 stars.
Morning. Absolutely.
I listened to it last week.
Every American Christian needs to listen to this, or you can
this
watch
week,
it.
Because it was Sunday.
So two things here. One is this afternoon at 3:05 Central Time, we're going to play that sermon on American Family Radio. We're interrupting our normal programming.
It's that good.
Yes, and that important.
Yes.
And that important. Every American Christian needs to listen to what Pastor Nelson has to say. So, again, this afternoon at 3:05 Central Time. Right now it's 10:04. No, it's 10:44 Central Time, so adjust your clocks. We're going to be here with this message. Now, Walker, you've also, if people want to go ahead and listen to it.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook
after
page.
After our show's over.
Correct. Because they don't need a tune out of our show.
No.
Right.
Right.
Then they can do that. But Tom, you got it posted on our Facebook page?
Yeah, the full YouTube clip is on our Facebook
and
page.
And that's a video clip, so you'll watch Pastor
it's 40,
Nelson.
It's 45, 50 minutes
it's
so.
About 58 minutes yeah. long.
But we're trimming it back just a little.
There's
for
a
the
song
radio.
At the end.
Yeah.
But I would tell you, if you have friends who are kind of undecided whether they should vote, call them right now and tell them to tune in to that. Because you just listen to that and you will be convinced, I have to vote.
Yes.
I have got to vote. And I've got to vote for the party, for the person that is going to uphold my religious freedom.
He doesn't. Tommy Nelson, he's the pastor of the Denton Bible Church. Mm-hmm. He doesn't hold back on Clinton or Trump, either one, in terms of what kind of people they've lived their lives as.
Yeah.
He's critical of both in terms of they've both got serious character and personality flaws.
Issues.
But now he does say in the message that Donald Trump has surrounded himself with some godly people.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's really not the point of the message. It's a very comprehensive look at how we've gotten to where we are.
Yeah, and we really encourage people to listen to this or watch it online. But we're gonna, listen. It is rare for us to interrupt our own programming,
right?
Which we believe is top notch,
right?
To play something from someone else, but this is that good, folks. And it is as concise a message as I've ever heard on this subject. And he brings it. He talks Bible. He talks, politics. He talks culture. It is just a perfect sermon on this subject.
It's also a reminder of the uniqueness of this United States.
Right.
And how the world started to copy our system of government.
Right.
Because they saw how it worked. He brings all of that home. Now, it sounds like a boring history, but it's not. It's not. It goes to the importance of this election and how the outcome of this election will affect America for decades to come.
Right.
This is not just another election.
Right.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. We're talking about a message, a sermon by Tommy Nelson, pastor of the Denton Bible Church, and we're going to very powerful. We're going to play this afternoon at 3:05 Central Time here on American Family Radio. We've also posted the message on our Facebook page, Today's Issues, and we do have permission by the church to play that. I called them, and they said it's public, so go ahead. So the Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas has given us permission, and after you hear it, you'll want to spread that message far and wide. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. I think we're going to have our good friend Dr. Frank Turek on momentarily. Are you getting Frank on? Is he getting Frank on?
He's shaking his head no.
Is she? Okay. Frank, excuse me. I'm sorry. Hey, Ed, Fred, talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
Because I've got to go tell Walker who to get on the phone.
Okay. I do, Fred, want to remind our listeners that Tuesday night, and we've been talking about this and have mentioned it, hopefully it's been mentioned on all our shows, but we are going to have coverage here Tuesday night, election night, beginning at 6 p.m. Central Time.
6 p.m. Central Time. Our usual hosts will be here. We'll be giving you moment by moment. I tell you, folks, you don't want to miss a moment of this starting at 6 o'clock Central, because that's 7 o'clock in the Eastern time zone, and you start seeing the polls closing in those states, like up in New Hampshire and down through Virginia. All of those that are on the Eastern time zone will start getting results then. We'll start getting an indication of where things are going, just like we've been talking about, Ed. New Hampshire is a toss-up state right now.
Yeah, that's unusual here lately.
That's from your neck of the woods.
Right, it's become a purple state and kind of leaning blue because so many people have moved from Massachusetts into New Hampshire because it's better tax policy. Yeah. And it's really turned – it used to be a solidly red state, conservative state, when I was growing up.
You live free or die, right?
You live free or die, but the people from Massachusetts – mm-hmm. have abandoned their state mm-hmm. and have moved and made it a blue state. So the great thing is, as people tune in right at 6 o'clock Central Time, as you pointed out, Fred, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, The networks start sometimes even that early calling races right off the bat.
That's right. And along with the big election story between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, obviously we're going to be watching Senate races.
Yes.
Throughout the evening, there are some important referenda that are being voted on across the country. Colorado Care. If you think Obamacare is bad, think about Colorado Care.
Right.
They're asking the voters out there to approve a 10% increase in their income taxes plus other fees to pay for their health insurance. That's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah.
So it is an election. Yeah. I've been here 20 years now. I've never seen an election with the kind of dynamics we're talking about in this one. You do not want to miss our program on Tuesday night.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, what we really need in this country are more gay characters on TV. And
yeah. I know where you're going with this story. This is an actual story.
Yeah, this is an actual story. I was tongue-in-cheek there, folks. This is a story, Associated Press. It says a record number of gay characters are featured on broadcast series, but small-screen shows overall can be deadly for the female ones, according to a study released Thursday. More than 25 lesbian and bisexual female characters died on scripted broadcast cable shows. But the point is, whether they died or not, that I don't think that's a plot by Clinton or Trump. I think the point is that if you were to watch, if all you watched was entertainment shows on the networks at night, you would think that 50% of Americans are gay or lesbian.
Actually, it's 25%. There's actually a survey on this where they asked the general public, what percentage of people in this country do you think are gay or lesbian? And they actually said 25%. Now, the truth is it's just over 2%. If you add bisexuals, it bumps it up to 3%. But it's 2%. But because of what's on the media, that people said, well, I'd guess about 25%, one out of every four. No, wrong. It's, 2%.
So there's the Hollywood just can't get enough of promoting and pushing the LGBT agenda and lifestyle, so much so that you go do a man on the street and ask them what percentage of the American public are gay or lesbian. They go, I'm thinking one out of four. One out of four.
Yeah.
Well, look, walking down the street right there, one out of four of those are gay or lesbian. That just shows you it shows you how stupid the American people are on this issue, excuse the language. But it also goes to show you the power and influence of Hollywood to condition people's minds to believe something that isn't so. Why do you think, though,
Fred? Because when every court decision that favors homosexuals becomes the breaking news, and they spend 10 minutes of a broadcast on it. So you begin to think if you're ignorant of scripture and ignorant of reality, you begin to, your worldview is being shaped by this nightly newscast. Oh, this has got to be incredible. They're spending 9 minutes on this, and they're out in the street, and they're out in front of the Supreme Court, and they're talking to all these people. This is huge, but it's not.
Well, one study actually found what they called the Will and Grace effect. Now, that was for those of you who don't, that name doesn't ring a bell. That was a show that began airing in 1998 and ran, I think, about 10 years.
On NBC, I think.
I think it was an NBC show, and it was focused on the friendship between a homosexual man and a heterosexual woman. The gay man had a friend, Jack, who was very flamboyant. But anyway, it was a very funny show. And that's always the key. The best writers, gravitate to these shows. And this study actually found that show changed people's views about same-sex marriage.
Yep.
And it actually made them more sympathetic towards same-sex marriage because they, found themselves with an emotional attachment to these characters. Like I do with Andy Griffith, or Don Knotts, Barney Fife. And so the power of the media was demonstrated. These kinds of studies are fascinating. They don't get a lot of. I remember reading, and I read these studies for an article I wrote for the AFA Journal 6 or 7 years ago, but there was a study in Brazil about what happened when television came to these villages that had no television, and they began to watch soap operas. And it talked about how the divorce rate went up and all these. It changes behavior because it changes attitudes.
Yeah.
And this is the way human beings learn. We learn by having our attitudes changed, and it eventually changes behavior.
Look at the impact of Ellen DeGeneres.
Right.
Remember, I mean, she's funny. And she's, you know, she's fun to be with for that hour show. I don't even show it's on the air anymore. But Ellen DeGeneres had that impact. Look, she's a nice lady. She's funny. She has great guests on her program. She's just like me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was the attitude that began to become generated because of that program.
Well, and with the LGBT on television, it's 100% positive portrayals.
Right.
If you get almost any other group, you're going to have real life.
Yeah.
And that is that you're going to have the mix of the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
But LGBT characters on network television in a series are they're always, you know, presented in a positive light, whereas somebody maybe who would
Christians. Christians are the one evangelical Christians
you can,
or Catholics.
Yeah. If you're going to malign somebody on network television shows, you need to stick with Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Because every other group has a
protected.
Every group has an organized group out there, whether it be the Human Rights Campaign or
you know what would be interesting to see is we just talked about the perception of people, what percentage is gay or bisexual. It'd be very interesting to find out from the average person what percentage of the American population would you guess are evangelical Christians, because you hardly ever find one on network television,
right? Mm-hmm.
Unless they're an axe murderer or a lunatic or a absolute judgmental hypocrite.
Right.
Yeah,
but you hardly get any.
And what I noticed the few minutes a day I spend flipping through the television, the portrayal of the traditional family structure, which is a male and a female married with children, that structure is highly criticized and is negatively portrayed. You will hardly ever see a stable marriage with good parenting represented in a movie or a show. There's always some so-and-so's cheating on somebody, or they argue all the time, or the children are rebellious.
So the dad's a buffoon.
Right.
Usually.
Right.
And I mean, it's a... It would be encouraging and refreshing to get the traditional family structure represented well on television.
Those shows always did very well.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to bring up the Bill Cosby show because of his problems here recently, but then Home Improvement. Those kinds of programs were always very popular because they portrayed normalcy.
The conditioning of the American people to accept or reject something the influence of Hollywood is probably number one. It's enormous. Norman Lear knew this in the 70s. Do you remember the All in the Family show was hugely popular? Well, the conservative on that show was Archie Bunker. And Archie Bunker he would just blurt out bigoted stuff, you know, and he would just say, and the laugh track would roll. And his views were portrayed as backwards and idiotic. And
Norman Lear admitted.
Yeah, he admitted, I'm trying to change the way America thinks to be more liberal. And so I'm going to portray the liberal characters in a more sympathetic, positive light. Anyway, just FYI here, one out of four Americans are not gay or lesbian. Okay, despite what people say. 2% is the number that are LGBT, maybe 3 if you include we're going to be back with more on today's issues coming up just momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.